for the first instruction is take them out of my head, put them on a piece of paper. Now, you don't have to be sober a long time to do this. And you don't have to be highly educated to do this. And if you can't write, you feed the names to somebody else and have them write them down. I have never seen an alcoholic yet that does not know just exactly who and what, by God, they're mad at. Hell, we spend hours and hours and hours sitting around in bars and places talking about it. All we got to do is take it out of our head, put it on a piece of paper, and we've done the first instruction. Now, if you're anything like me, I think you're going to be absolutely amazed when you do this. Bill, you notice, had four. He said, Mr. Brown, Miss Jones, my employer, and my wife. Probably he had more. I assume he didn't want to use any more space in the big book. They came to me and they said, Charlie, make a list of your resentments. And I said, I don't have any. And they said, well, surely you do. Maybe you don't understand what they are. And they explained to me what a resentment is. And I said, oh, yeah, I got one or two of those. They said, well, put them down on a piece of paper. Now, the sheet that you've got, and the sheet up there has eight spaces on it. I put down eight of them. Now, two or three turned to eight immediately. I laid that sheet down, got another sheet of paper, and put down eight more. Then I put down eight more. And then I put down eight more. And I got up there about 162. And I said, man, you're better in hell at everything. I didn't know that. You can only see one resentment at a time in your head. I don't think any of us will ever really truly understand how much resentment controls and dominates our thinking till we get them all down on a sheet of paper and look at them for the first time, and I was absolutely amazed when I saw that. Now, I made a decision to let God be the director of my thinking. And if my mind is controlled by resentment to that extent, then there's no way God can do that. And I learned one of the most valuable things I've ever learned just by listing the names. Now let's go to the second instruction. We ask ourselves why we were angry, period. Stop, that's it. Let's go to the top of the second column, the cause. And to the side of each name, let's put down the cause of our anger. Now there may be one cause or there may be multiple causes. But very carefully, while we got one thing and one thing only on our mind, we fill out the second column, top to bottom. Bill had... He's mad at Mr. Brown because his attention to my wife, told my wife and my mistress, and Brown may get my job at the office. Hell, I don't blame him. I'd be getting mad with Brown, too, about now. He's mad at Mrs. Jones. She's a nut. She snubbed me. She committed her husband to drinking. He's my friend. She's a gossip. He's mad at the employee. You're unreasonable, unjust, and overbearing. Probably said, say, Bill, this is Tuesday. Where were you all day Monday, anyhow? He also threatens to fire me for drinking and padding my expense account. Now, that's unreasonable as hell, isn't it? He's mad at his wife. She misunderstands and nags and likes old Brown, and she wants the house put in her name. You tie together like and Brown wanting the house put in her name, it's about time to get upset. Very carefully we put down the cause. I've never seen an alcoholic yet that not only do we know who we're mad at, we know exactly why we're mad at them. If we didn't know the cause, the name wouldn't be there in the first place. All we got to do is put it out of our head, put it down on a sheet of paper. Very simple instruction. And if you're like me, you'll learn something else very important. For the first time I could see, it's really not them I'm mad at. It's what they do that's got me upset. You know, I take Mr. Brown out here and put Mr. Green in, and I'll be just as upset with Green if he does the same thing. I could take my wife out of here, put my mistress in, and I'll be just as upset with her if she does the same thing. For the first time, I begin to see it's really not people, institutions that I'm upset with. It's what they do that upsets me. And that's very valuable for me to know a little bit later on. You see, I'm getting ready now to start a kind of living where I'm going to develop the best possible relationship that I possibly can, not only with God, but also with other human beings. And part of that relationship is going to be a forgiving process. Not only for them to forgive me, but for me to forgive them. And when I once begin to realize it's not them that's got me upset, it's what they do that's got me upset, that removes the name from it, and it's going to be easier for me to live with later on. Let's look at the third instruction. In most cases, it's found that our self-esteem, our pocketbooks, our ambitions, our personal relationships, including sex, were hurt or threatened, so we were sore, we were burned up. On our grudge list, we set opposite each name or injuries. Was it our self-esteem, our security, our ambitions, our personal sex relations that been interfered with? We go to the third column. And to the side of the cause, we look to see, is that a threat to my self-esteem? If it is, I put a check mark under the self-esteem column in that block. I work the self-esteem column very carefully, top to bottom. Then I go back and see, was it a threat to my personal relationship? Work it top to bottom. Then I go back to the material columns, work them individually, top to bottom. Then the sex columns and the ambition. I can't be upset with you unless you threaten one of those basic instincts alive. And if we'll work the basic instinct column one column at a time, I think we're going to see certain patterns start to develop. Maybe one of us will see that self-esteem is a real problem with us. Maybe another person will see that material security is the main problem. Maybe another one will see it's in the sex area. It's going to be a combination of all three, but at least one of those columns are going to predominate and stand out and show us the part of self that really is giving us a hard time. And when I finished column three, I learned for me the most valuable piece of information I've ever learned in my life. Now, some people know this in the beginning, but I didn't. What I learned in column three was where anger comes from. I've always had a problem with anger. And I've always reacted through anger, and I've done and I've said things I would be sorry about later, and I'd say, I'll never do it again, turn right around and do it all over again. I thought it was a feeling that just flitted into your mind, and you could do nothing to control it or to get rid of it or anything else. The reason I never could handle it is I never knew where it came from. You can't do anything about a problem till you understand the problem. For the first time, I see that my resentment, my anger, comes from a threat to one of my basic instincts of life. And that's how I choose to react to that threat. I'm glad I've learned that. Because you see, I can't do anything about what other people do. I can't do anything about the fact that they're going to always threaten my basic instincts of life. But maybe, just maybe, with God's help, I can do something about my reaction to it if I know where it comes from. And today I know that's 100% true. You know, my wife, Barbara, bless her heart, if there's any such thing as a black belt Al-Anon, I'm married to one of them. She's been an Al-Anon 24 years. She's got a good program, and I love her deeply. But once in a while, she gets out of kilter too. And there's times she does things based on self she shouldn't do. And once in a while, she'll say something and do something to me that really does hurt. It threatens the basic instinct of life. Now, I find that if I'm right with God and my basic instincts are under control, I'm able to say, well, poor old thing, that's just the way they are. They don't know any better. They're sick, too. And it'll just slide off of my back and doesn't bother me at all. Now, 2 weeks from now, the same lady does the same thing, and I'm not right with God, and my instincts are not under control, and I blow my sack, and I romp and stomp and raise hell with her and everybody else all day long. Same lady did the same thing. But I choose to react to it in an entirely different manner based upon my relationship with God and whether my instincts are under control or not. My God, I'm glad I've learned that. Because you see, I can't do anything about Barbara. And I can't do anything about what she does. But with God's help, maybe I can do something about my reaction to it. That's the most valuable thing I've ever learned about me, period. Now, I filled out three columns. I've learned three things. Column one, I learned how angry I really am. How much resentment controls my thinking, and if it does, God can't. Column two, I learned it's not really them I'm upset with, it's what they do that's got me upset. Column three, I've learned it's really not even what they do. It's how I choose to react to that threat, to my basic instincts of life on any given day based on my relationship with God and whether my instincts are under control. Now let's see what we do with that after we filled it out. Bottom of page 65, what time are we going to need to quit, Mike? What time do you want to quit, Mike? Okay, we'll try to quit about 5:30, okay? All right. I don't want to meet all the barbecue. Hell, that'd be a mess, wouldn't it? Now, I'm going to ask Ken to write for me on the chart for just a moment. And I'm still going to use Barbara as our example. And we're going to do this from left to right because I'm just going to put one resentment down. If we were doing more, we'd go top to bottom. Column one, let's put Barbara's name in there. 22 years ago when I came to AA. No, 24 years ago when I came to AA. 2 years before I got sober, I hated this woman with a purple passion. I didn't want anything to do with her. I never wanted to see her again. And if I could have killed her without getting caught, I believe I probably would have done so. I used to dream about her driving down the highway in a car and a semi running over and killing her, and then me collecting the insurance and all that kind of stuff. And always there was another young, beautiful lady just sitting over there waiting for that to happen to you. Now, why did I hate her so much? Well, the last year before she went to Al-Anon, she filed for divorce 3 times. 3 divorces. God, I was upset with her. Spending more money on lawyers than I was spending on booze and everything that went with it. What part of self was threatened? Every bit of it. It was a threat to my self-esteem. We'll put a check mark on your self-esteem. What are those people going to think about me with her filing for divorce 3 times in a year? It was a threat to my personal relationship, not only between Barbara and myself, between my kids and myself too. It was a threat to my material security. Hell, she's going to get it all. When she filed all the way. She didn't ask for a little bit. She wanted it all. It's also a threat to my emotional security. It keeps me continually upset thinking about this deal. It was a threat to my acceptable sex life. I'm not going to have any more sex with Barbara if she gets a divorce. It was a threat to all my ambitions. She just almost wiped me out right across the board. Okay, now let's go on a little further. Bottom of page 65. We went back through our lives, nothing counted but thoroughness and honesty. When we were finished, we considered it carefully. The first thing apparent was this world and its people are often quite wrong. To conclude that others were wrong as far as most of us ever got. The usual outcome was that people continued the wrongness and we stayed sore. Sometimes it was remorse and then we were sore ourselves, but the more we fought and tried to have our own way, the worse matters got. As in war, the victor only seemed to win. Our moments of triumph were short-lived. It's plain that a life which includes deep resentment leads only to futility and unhappiness. To the precise extent that we permit these, that we squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. And I read that statement and I stopped and I tried to look back in my life to see how much time I've squandered in resentment. Now, I don't know about you, but I know about me. And when I got a good resentment churning up here in my head, I'm pretty well paralyzed from doing anything worthwhile. All I want to do is think about that and how I'm going to get even with them and etc. And one of my favorite things when I was drinking was to get up early in the morning, have a drink of whiskey and a cup of coffee, and turn on my resentment replay machine and replay what she did to me yesterday, what he did to me last week, what they did to me last month, what the boss did to me 2 months ago, what the banker did 6 months ago, what my neighbor did 1 year ago, what my brother did 2 years ago, what my father did 10 years ago, what my, and on and on and on and on. And my tape was just about 1 hour long. And God, I just loved to play that thing. And when that tape would run out, I'd have another drink of whiskey and another cup of coffee, and I would turn on my get even machine. Now, by God, the next time they do that, I'd spend 1 hour doing that too. And I just loved it. My God, I just loved it. I did it every day of my life. And as I look back now, I don't see where it ever did me any good. Didn't make me any money, that's for sure. Never straightened up a relationship with another human being, just made them worse. Never made me feel better, just made me feel worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I really believe that is absolute wasted time, period. Now today, I'm sober. And I'm happy. And I'm peaceful. And I'm free. And I got peace of mind. And I've never been this way before. My God, I love it. I love it. I only got so much time to live on earth. Mine's starting to come to an end. And I'll be damned if I'm going to waste any more of it in resentment when I don't have to. I love this feeling that I've received from the working of these steps, and I want every hour that I've got left that I'm awake to be peaceful and happy and free. Not only so I won't get drunk, but I love to feel this way. Hell, I've never felt this way before in my life. I didn't know you could feel this way. Wasting time and resentment is one of the worst things that we can do as human beings. But that's not the worst thing. Here's the worst thing. It's plain that a life that includes deep resentment leads only to the precise extent we permit these and squander the hours that might have been worthwhile. But with the alcoholic, whose hope is the maintenance and growth of a spiritual experience, this business of resentment is infinitely grave. We found that it is fatal. For when harboring such feelings, we shut ourselves off from the sunlight of the Spirit. When harboring resentments, God is blocked out. The insanity of alcohol returns. Insanity for us is to believe that we can drink. And with God blocked out, we don't feel good. And our mind starts searching for a way to feel good. It remembers the sense of ease and comfort that comes at once by a couple of drinks. And the next thing you know, we become insane and we believe we can drink. And we end up drunk. And with us, to drink is to die. That's what's wrong with the resentment. It causes us to get drunk. Now, it really doesn't make any difference whether resentment is justified or unjustified. Either one of them fills our shells and blocks God out. Either one of them, justified or unjustified, causes us to be restless, irritable, and discontented. Either one of them robs us of peace of mind. And either one of them will get us drunk sooner or later. If we were to live, we had to be free of anger. The grouch and the brainstorm were not for us. They may be the dubious luxury of normal men, but for alcoholics, these things are poison. We turn back to the list, for it held the key to the future. We were prepared to look at it from an entirely different angle. Always before, I looked at it to see what those suckers had done to me. Today, I look at it to see what that resentment is going to do to me. We begin to see that the world and its people really dominated us. In that state, the wrongdoing of others fancied or real had power to actually kill. And I stopped and I read that and I thought, how stupid can you be? All my life, I've been proud of the fact that I stand on my own 2 feet. I run my own show. Nobody tells me what to do. I don't need your advice, thank you. And I suddenly realized, other people have controlled my thinking and my decision as far back as I can remember through my resentment toward them. When I'm resenting them, they're controlling how I think. They're controlling what I decide. They're controlling how I act. And I realize those people have always had complete control of my life, and I always thought I had it, but I never did. They always had it. And then I thought, man, you are stupid. Some of these people have been dead and buried for years. And they've been reaching out from the grave and they've had me by the yang-yang as far back as I can remember. And when I saw that, I said, I'm not going to live on hell with them. I'm not going to let them live in my head rent-free anymore. I've made a decision to let God be the director of my thinking. And if other people, alive or dead, justified or unjustified, if they control it, then God can't. I didn't know that. You see, the things we learn from this simple little inventory, this is the damnedest thing I ever saw in my life, to teach us the things that cause our problems. How can we escape? We saw that these resentments must be mastered, but how? We could not wish them away anymore with alcohol. This was our course. We realized that the people who wronged us were perhaps spiritually sick. Though we did not like their symptoms and the way these disturbed us, they, like ourselves, were sick too. We ask God to help us show them the same tolerance, pity, and patience that we would cheerfully grant a sick friend. When a person offended, we said to ourselves, this is a sick man, how can I be helpful to him? God save me from being angry, thy will be done. If you're like me, when you really fill that sheet out and you look at it for the first time and you see how people have controlled your life as far back as you can remember, that looks stupid. And we alcoholics fancy ourselves as reasonably intelligent people. And we don't like to look stupid. And about 95% of those resentments are going to disappear when we see the entire stupidity in that mess. But there may be 1, 2, 3, 4, or 5 that have been embedded in our minds all of our lives, practically. And they may be so deep that we're going to have extra help to get rid of them. Now, they come from self-will. And the only thing that can overcome self-will is the fellow who made it. And the fellow who made self-will in the first place is God. And if I got one of those resentments that I don't want to get rid of, or that I don't seem to be able to get rid of, then my book says pray for them. It's the hardest thing in the world for an alcoholic to do is to pray for somebody we resent. But if we pray for them, we're going to lose that resentment. I'm not going to go through it, but there's an example on page 551, Freedom from Bondage, which is one of the greatest things I've ever read. And this lady there tells us exactly how to go about praying for somebody we resent. Said, pray for them and ask for everything be given to them that we want for ourselves. Ask that God give them the same peace of mind, serenity, and happiness we seek for ourselves. And it says, do it every day for 14 days, whether we mean it or not is beside the point. Do it until the resentment disappears. You cannot resent another human being and pray for them at the same time. Prayer and resentment will not live on the same plane. Prayer is the greatest expression of love that one human being can have for another. And love and hate cannot live together. And if we pray for them, eventually the resentment's going to disappear. Now just think, if 95% of these resentments disappear during the inventory process, and if I can get rid of the other 5% through prayer, that means that this display case that was filled with resentments can now be completely emptied out. There's another natural law that applies. Nature abhors a vacuum. No such thing as a vacuum. There's always something rushing in to fill it up. And where those resentments used to be, God's not going to leave an empty spot in my head. He can't. I've got enough holes up there already. When those resentments disappear, those display cases will have to be filled with something else. And the only thing that can fill them is the opposite of the resentment. And where my mind used to be filled with anger, resentment, and hate, I now find peace of mind, serenity, happiness, love, patience, tolerance, and goodwill toward my fellow man. And what really amazed me is I didn't have to go to any other fellowships to find that. I didn't have to read any other books to find that. If God dwells within me and my book says He does, then those things have always been a part of my makeup. I just never could use them before. In my search for money, power, prestige, sex, and what I thought was the good things of life, all the God qualities had to be repressed so I could go ahead and operate on self-will. And as the resentments disappear, the God things automatically come to the surface. The most amazing thing I ever saw. People look at step four as a bad thing. There's nothing negative about step four. This is a positive happening. As those resentments disappear and as they're replaced with love, patience, tolerance, and goodwill, then in that part of my mind, I'm in much less chance of getting drunk than I was before I started the inventory process. A real, real positive thing. I want to look at one more thing and then we're going to quit. Now, it does me no good to get rid of a resentment if I don't know how to keep it from coming back. Because they're going to do it to me again tomorrow. And if I'm not careful, I'll resent and I can't have one. When I get one, I got two, then I got three, then I'm a basket case. Let's go to page 67. Let's go to the third paragraph. Let's look at the fourth column on that sheet. The fourth column on that sheet says, what's the exact nature of my wrongs, faults, mistakes, defects, or shortcomings? Well, the exact nature of something is, what's the truth about it? What's at the core of it? What's the inherent characteristic of it? Now, the wrong is the resentment. That's what blocks me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. That's the wrong. But what's the exact nature of that wrong? What's within me that allows that to happen in the first place? Why am I so prone to these resentments? And all alcoholics are. Page 67, third paragraph. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others have done, we resolutely look for our own mistakes. Uh-oh. God, this is brand new stuff. I never did look at my mistakes. I always look to see what those suckers have done to me. I never did look to see where I might have done something wrong. Or had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation not been entirely our fault, we try to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them, we placed them before us in black and white. we admitted our wrongs honestly, we're willing to set these matters straight. I went back to my inventory sheet. And that first name on the top of that sheet, that lady named Barbara. My book said, okay, Charlie, forget what she did to you. What did you do? Did you do anything to set this thing in motion? And I looked out in the fourth column. And the fourth column are the four basic instincts, the four character defects that all human beings have. All other character defects stem from those four. I looked at the fourth column, and I said to myself, if I hadn't been so selfish, I probably wouldn't have been doing some of the things that I was doing. And if I hadn't been doing them, Barbara wouldn't have caught me, and she probably wouldn't have filed for divorce in the first place. I said to myself, if you hadn't been so dishonest, you wouldn't have been sneaking around behind her back and lying to her, and she probably wouldn't have filed for divorce in the first place. I said to myself, if you wasn't so frightened of facing life, approaching 40 years of age, saying to yourself, if you don't get out there and get some of that now, it'll be too late. Real problem with people. If I hadn't been so frightened, I wouldn't have been doing some of those things. If I had been more considerate of my wife and my children, I wouldn't have been doing the things I was doing in the first place. And if I hadn't been doing them, Barbara couldn't have caught me. And if she didn't catch me, she wouldn't have filed for divorce in the first place. For the first time I realized, hell, it's not her fault, it's my own fault. I have developed an old selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, frightened, and inconsiderate character during my years of drinking. And I did things based on those character defects which hurt Barbara. And then she, in turn, did the only thing she knew to do, retaliated against me. I set it in motion. And what I have done with that resentment against Barbara is every time I played it in my head, I changed the picture a little bit. And I made what she did a little worse and what I did a little bit less. Now you let me play a resentment long enough in my mind, I'll distort the picture entirely. And I made her the devil, made me as pure as driven snow. Now if you're practicing alcoholic, you've got to develop those kind of skills. I don't think we could live with ourselves when we're drinking if we had to honestly see what we're doing. But we don't have to see that. We have a very convenient thing called resentments that we use to change the picture and transfer all blame from us to other people and then allow us to go on and live just the way we want to live. I thought, my God, could there be any more on here like that? And sure enough, the second one, I'd done the same thing. Based on selfishness and dishonesty, I had done something to the Internal Revenue Service. And they had caught me, and they had filed against me, and I hated their guts for it, and I had transferred all blame to them and made me as pure as driven snow. Third one on the list was the police department. God, I hated policemen. Oh, I hated them. But I never did have a policeman arrest me yet for sober walking. I did something to put me in that position based on my personality character defect. And you know, if I went down that sheet, I did not have a name on that sheet. But they did something to me first. Every one of them, every damn one of them, I did something based on my old personality that created a problem for them. They in turn retaliated against me. I in turn resented them and transferred all blame to them, and I no longer had to look at me. Now I can see very easily, if I stay selfish, self-seeking, dishonest, inconsiderate, I'm going to keep right on doing the same things I've always done. I'm going to keep right on hurting people, and they're going to retaliate, and I'm going to resent, and that's going to block me off from the sunlight of the Spirit. Let me show you what I found on that sheet. If you would, then let's just put four right up above review of resentment. We're doing step four. Out there in that fourth column, I'm now looking at the truth of this resentment. I'm now looking at the core of it. In that fourth column, I see the exact nature of the wrong that I'm going to talk to another human being about when I take step five. So we'll put step five, just like the number five in that fourth column. I also see the defects in my character that I'm going to be willing to get rid of in step six. So that's what six in that column B. I also see the defects of character, the shortcomings, or whatever you would like to call them. They'll use all kinds of names that I'm going to ask God to take away in step seven. And quite naturally, when I looked at the truth of these things and realized that those I resented, that I myself had hurt them, then I'm going to take the names off of that list and put them on a list to use for steps 8 and 9 at a later date. The big book says when we get to step 8, we have the list. We made it when we took step 4. So in the first column, let's put 8 and 9. You see what I've done for myself? Not only did I see the truth about my resentment, I got rid of my resentment, and I saw the things within my personality that I'm going to have to do something about in 5, 6, and 7. And I see the people I've hurt for steps 8 and 9. I've set myself up entirely for steps 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, resentment-wise. Damnest thing I ever saw. So simple. Now, if I don't change, if I'm not willing to change what's out there in the fourth column, then look out. I don't stand a chance. Now, I've got to do one more little thing. I hear some of you saying, yeah, I agree with that. But how about those people that hurt us when we were kids growing up and we didn't have anything to do with that? Aren't we justified in resenting them? Assure y'all if you want to get drunk. That kind of resentment blocks you off from the sunlight and spirit. Just exactly like an unjustified resentment will. Now, if you've got one of those resentments, knowing it might get you drunk and you don't want to get rid of it, for God's sake, let's see what we're doing with it. Let's put it on that sheet of paper. Let's go to the fourth column. Let's try to look at the truth of that resentment. And let me tell you something. If it happened to you 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago, what you see in your head today is not true. Oh, it's got some truth to it. But if you've played it over and over, you've distorted it, it's really not true. Let's try to look at the truth of it. Let's look in the fourth column and let's see if I am so selfish that I'm just simply refused to turn loose of that resentment. Let's look at that fourth column and let's see if I'm so dishonest. I absolutely refuse to look at the truth of it. Let's look at that fourth column and let's see if we're so frightened of life that we're afraid to face life without that resentment. You know, a good resentment is the greatest justifier in the world. We can use it to rationalize and justify. The story in the book that I referred you to, the lady used her resentment against her mother to justify her lack of education. Greatest excuse in the world. If mama hadn't have done that, that I could have got an education. She used it to justify her marital failure. After all, what mother did made me the way I am, and I can't help it. She even used it to justify her alcoholism. Girl, there's not a soul in this room today that is not a grown adult. We no longer have the luxury of blaming things in our life today on what people did to us in the past. We have a way to get rid of the past. And the only way that you and I are going to be peaceful, happy, and free in the future is to get rid of that stuff from the past. And as long as that resentment is dragging me back, I never have any peace of mind. Am I so inconsiderate of that other human being that I refuse to recognize that they are sick also? I don't care who did it to you or what it was. They didn't do it because they're bad. They did it because they're sick, just like we're sick, and like all human beings are sick. And they didn't do it to you anyhow. They would have done it to anybody in that position. I'm going to try to find a way to have peace of mind, serenity, and happiness in the future. I'm going to try to find a way to be of maximum service to God and my fellow man. I'm going to try to find a way to have the best relationship I can possibly have with other human beings, and part of that is the forgiving process. And if I can forgive those people for what they've done, then I can free myself from that resentment and from the past. But if I'm not willing to do that, then that resentment's going to kill me. We're making a big mistake in our way today. We're sitting around in our meeting room, and we're talking about what they did to us, and trying to figure out why it makes us the way we are today. What difference does it make what makes us the way we are today? The fact is, that's the way we are. Now, what are we going to do about it? The other thing we try to do, we try to figure out why did they do that to us. We're trying to understand them. You can't understand them. Christ, we can't even understand ourselves, much less other people. What difference does it make why they did it? The fact is, they did it. And we'll talk about that, 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 and we'll circle that table and talk about that a problem, and everybody in the room gets sicker and sicker and sicker as we talk about it. I call those group depression meetings. You go in there feeling pretty good, you come out of there and say, well, it's not worth living any longer after an hour in that meeting. Why don't we just do what our book says? Why don't we inventory that out? Why don't we look at the truth of it? Why don't we try to get rid of it so we can live free of it in the future? The only way you'll be free in the future is to free yourself from the past. And you can do it through this process. I don't care what they did to you. You can do it. Believe me, I know I've done it. And I've seen other people do it over and over and over, and it really does work. I wish we had time for the rest of step four. We don't. I really like to talk about sex better than anything else. If you read your fears, as the book says, the same instructions apply. He just words them a little differently. If you'll use a fear sheet, just like a resentment sheet, if you go back to your past sex life, review it just like you do resentment. He uses basically the same instructions. Fill out those three sheets. You'll be handling the three common manifestations of self. Resentment, fear, guilt, and remorse associated with other people. And the book tells us how to get rid of all that stuff. Most amazing thing I ever saw. Thank you all for being here. Wish we had more time, but we don't. I appreciate Ken being here to help us. Ken, I'm sorry I got so wound up and didn't let you do any talking at all, but that's just the way I am sometimes. I'll turn it back to you.